BBC.
BBC.
Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Alex Last. Today we take you back to 1984, when Nigeria's current president, General Muhammadu Buhari, was last in power, and his military regime famously tried to change Nigerian society by launching a war against indiscipline.
Proportions in the last few years will be dealt with ruthlessly, no matter whoever may be involved.
When General Muhammadu Buhari seized power in Nigeria on the last day of 1983, he was determined to clean up the country, which had become synonymous with corruption and mismanagement. But for this new hardline regime, going after corrupt politicians was not enough. They believed that the behaviour of Nigerian society itself needed to change. And so, in March 1984, Buhari's tough, incorruptible deputy, General Tunde Idiagbon, launched an unprecedented nationwide campaign called the War Against Indiscipline.
Oh, Nigerians, we don't want corruption.
I want you to bear in mind, you need to emphasize self-discipline and leadership by good example. Begin by drawing public attention to little but important everyday manifestations of indiscipline, such as rushing into buses, driving on the wrong side of the road, littering the streets, parks, and dwelling compounds, cheating, taking undue advantage.
Tunde Idiagbon was the chief of staff supreme headquarters, which in normal language meant he was the second in command.
Shola Odunfo was then a leading Nigerian newspaper journalist living in Lagos.
But here was a young man who made it a point of duty never to smile. He was almost frowning all the time.
It is my pleasure, therefore, to declare today the launching day for the war against indiscipline.
This war against indiscipline, which was known by most people by its acronym, WHY. We had never had anything like that. We didn't know what it meant. When they launched at it, it was with a vengeance.
Perhaps the greatest test for this war against indiscipline was in Lagos, then Nigeria's capital on the coast. The city was a sweltering, sprawling mess. The roads were clogged by traffic. Basic services like electricity, water and sanitation barely functioned, while the city's population had soared from around 200,000 to over 5 million in just two decades.
If you had been to, especially Lagos, everybody acted the way they liked. Whatever you could get away with, you did, either physically or morally. At bus stops in Lagos, so to get onto the buses, they were battle scenes. There was no discrimination between male and female. Boarding the bus was a question of the fittest. If you could push an old woman off to make way for you, it was okay. But when WHY started, I remembered when I first saw the queues. I said, yeah, could this be Lagos? People queuing at bus stations. Ha! This world must be coming to an end. But then it worked.
One by one line.
And it didn't stop there. Queues appeared in banks and government offices, all enforced by soldiers. People even had to learn the words of the national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance in case they were challenged. Civil servants had to turn up to work on time at 8 a.m. or face the consequences.
Those who had no wristwatches had to buy, because in Nigeria, all of us, we don't believe much in time. Before then, people would just stroll in, some at 9, go around chatting with their friends. But suddenly, once in a while, these military people would come, order the gatemen to close the gate at exactly 8 o'clock. And when people arrived, rather than be allowed to go to their offices, they would be ordered to stand in the sun somewhere in the compound. At times, they would be ordered to squat on the floor. Oh, they were humiliated.
Now, war against indiscipline, why?
What did that one mean, Kwan?
Go your work early.
No kickback, oh.
One by one for line.
No corruption.
No obstruction on the road.
Ezio Mumekaichon.
No imamado.
No uru.
No bribery.
Attempts were also made to clean up the country. Once a month, people had to take part in a sanitation day, cleaning their house and their street.
Lagos was dirty. Everywhere was stinking. Drainages were blocked. As a result, during the rains, there were floods.
Now, how did you feel about cleaning up?
Personally, I enjoyed doing it because by 9:30, we were done with it and then we would sit down and trust Lagos. Someone would bring food. Suddenly, someone would appear with a bottle or two of beer. So I enjoyed that aspect of it.
The new rules were enforced by soldiers and often enforced quite brutally. Traffic violations were one example.
In Lagos, nobody prior to that time respected traffic rules. And when you are stopped by a soldier, very likely you would end up in a hospital because they would pull the driver down, at times also the passengers. And the normal routine was that you would be told to frog jump, do frog jumping. On the road, after a few minutes of that, you are getting tired. Then they bring out their leather hide whips, start whipping. Blood would be drawn. Yeah, it came to a stage that it challenged the humanity in all of us.
And so increasingly, the measures started to grate on the population. Some of the punishments were extremely harsh. Cheating in exams could get you up to 21 years in prison. Drug traffickers were sentenced to death and publicly executed. More generally, the regime was criticised by human rights groups as it imposed restrictions on the press and allowed detention without trial of those deemed to be a security risk.
Something which we all thought came out of the patriotic zeal to cleanse up the nation became such a monster which nobody could justify, nobody could rationalize.
Oh, mind your business, oh. The clampdown on corruption also made the regime deeply unpopular among the elite. And after just 20 months, Buhari's regime was overthrown in another military coup, and the war against indiscipline was over. For most, it was back to business as usual. But a few aspects of the war against indiscipline do remain more than 30 years on, most visibly the monthly sanitation days.
The policies they put in place were good. It was the measures taken to implement them that were in many cases barbaric. But the principles still live.
Shola Odunfa became a legendary BBC reporter in Nigeria. Now in his 70s, he still lives and works as a journalist in Lagos. Earlier this year, Muhammadu Buhari, now retired from the army, became the first opposition leader to win a Nigerian presidential election. There have even been calls for a new war against indiscipline, which is not something Shola would want to see.
No. Well, not by a military regime. I'd rather live in a country where everybody is stealing than where ridiculous laws are being enacted in the name of being patriotic. No.
Oh, mind your business, oh. Shola Odunfa, ending this edition of Witness with me, Alex Last. For more of our history programmes, just search for BBC Witness. For a complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.